And we turn for our text to Joel chapter 2 and to the beginning of verse 25. God speaks, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Those of you who are gardeners and you're trying to get your flowers to flourish, and you discover slugs eating one leaf and snails eating another and black fly and green fly, despair of them. And if you can, you use some sort of means of getting rid of them. But there are much more serious threats to life, certainly. They are for our pleasure. But the locust presents a much more serious threat. Just at the time of lockdown, there were a mighty swarm of locusts, bigger than any could remember, that swept across the Near East and parts of India. And the effect of the locusts was to leave nothing behind it. I don't think this time the palmer worm and the canker worm and the caterpillar got a look in. But they ate everything in sight. All the work that had been put into growing crops vanished. Rice crops, maize crops, whatever sort of crops in Northeast Africa and Palestine and Near East, right through to India, just at the time of lockdown. Well, if not of lockdown in those places, certainly of coronavirus. And the threat of a locust is severe. It eats your food for this year, so you have no seed for next year. So probably that means 3 years of hardship before the things can recover. Before you can get back to normal, before famine situations are abated. You can't have seeds the first year. You've got no food the first year. Seeds, if you'd had them, would plant for a second year. But you haven't got them and you can't eat much either. You get a supply of seeds if you can from somewhere that wasn't affected. So that in the third year, you may have some. Locusts are devastating. They destroy everything in their path. And these words speak to our hearts. The Lord will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Where we may think of our own lives. When did the locust, so to speak, begin to erode your life? Was it when you didn't pay attention and were disobedient to parents before you were secondary school age? Was it your growing awareness as you got older and being critical of everything and everyone you saw? Was it a giving over to licentiousness for many years? Was it working at something that was not moral and not right? Was it that you contracted a grave illness and expected to die? Was it that you look back over your life and said, I don't know that I've achieved anything? The years of our lives can seem so often like the years that the locusts have eaten. And one thing leads on to another. We start badly, children will go on worse. And so many children get involved, and they as youngsters in fights and brawls and death. And then there's drugs and the drink, and that brings death and desolation and devastation. In many cases, accidents on roads, apart from the effect of health. There are so many things that destroy life, that eat away at our lives. And there are many things that in themselves are of no harm, They don't do any harm. They're not morally harmful. Within their own limits, they're good. But we've done them to destruction. We have left behind the things that are valuable to spend our lives doing things that are of no intrinsic value over many years. And we look at our lives and we think, we haven't achieved anything. We haven't got anywhere. We've done nothing of any significance. And if by the grace of God, the Lord brings us to see and understand that that is indeed the truth, that our lives so far have been wasted, that our lives so far have been wicked. God gave us our lives, our brains, our hands, and what do we use them for? Indeed, the locusts have eaten. Singular here, and it means a swarm of locusts, the locust from the capital L, so to speak. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. If you get to a certain stage in life and feel that you must reform, difficulty is that you can't reform very easily. Habits get ingrained. Customs get ingrained also. And even if you manage to put them away for a little while, they soon begin to seep back into life. The eating away of years is a dreadful thing. We have but one life. We don't know how many years we're going to get. If we die at 10, we don't want the first 9 years eaten away. If we die at 20, we don't want the years till we're 20, particularly teenage years, to die away. And so on through the whole of life. The years that the locusts have eaten. And there will be many of you who hear this, who say, yes, my life has been eaten away. The things I dreamed of being, the things I dreamed of doing, things I wanted to do, things I thought important to do. Indeed, if you were brought up in a godly home, the things you were taught to do that were pleasing to God, these things you have stage by stage left behind, even as a swarm of locusts begins in one place. When it's eaten everything, moves another mile inland, then moves another mile, then moves another mile. So your life has degenerated beyond what you in any way can repair. Can't break your habits, can't break your customs, can't get out of the mindset that you've got. You are stuck. So when the Bible speaks of God, and particularly refers here to the Lord Jesus Christ, restoring those years, it is a promise to be jumped at. It is something to be pleaded. Lord, may it happen to me. If there are those who can't get out of this situation, will you lift me out? Will you bring me out? Will you restore me? How does the Lord Jesus Christ restore? It is the work of the Spirit of Christ to point us to the sinfulness of man by nature. And therefore the multiplication of evil throughout the whole world. One sin, you get compound interest. With two people, you get compound interest of four people to eight. So over the whole world, by nature, there is sin. And you're caught up in it. What can be done? The Lord says, I will restore. But not if you do nothing. It requires that you look back at your life, that you confess your sin, one after the other, the way one has accumulated on top of another. And all the times you rejected the God who gave you all your goodness every day for 365, 3,650 years, double it, triple it. God is not pleased with the wicked. All those times have multiplied their evil. But he says he will restore. It is to be jumped at. things we've done are to be repented of. Things we've done, we're to see just how bad they are. And then it is that the next thing that the Holy Spirit teaches us is God has no reason, as far as we can tell, that he should bother with us. What have we done that might extract mercy from him? If anything, the Lord has every right to destroy us, to do away with us, to be angry with us, but he has said, I will restore. And that is the thing we must cling to. We can't get out of our own mess. We can't say that he will, as of right, deal with us in order to deliver us, but he said he will. And therefore we put behind us, we repent of those things which we've done. We turn then in repentance to the Lord Jesus. And what do we discover about the Lord Jesus Christ? We discover that he had no sin, that he was fully God and that he was fully man. And that without sin, he bore the sins of those who would believe in him upon the cross. Here was a saviour who died, a saviour who lived in this life, never having once sinned compared with yours. And he, in order to restore you, has taken this step nearly 2,000 years ago, of dying on the cross of Calvary to substitute for you. This is what you deserved. And not only the physical death, but the eternal death that follows it, after a death, the judgment. This is what you and I deserve by nature. This is where natural life, without a vast change, will lead us. But the Lord has promised to restore us. And his act of restoration is to begin to show us our need of him, and then to show us what he has done in history to take away our sin. That message is communicated by the gospel. And the next stage of the Holy Spirit is to apply that gospel to our hearts, for the Saviour to draw us to himself. We understand that we are lost. We understand that our years have been wasted away. We can't get out of the habit. We've now learned how sinful mankind is, and we have been along with it, gone along with it, played along with it. We've understood that Jesus paid the price for the sins of those who believe in him. We've heard the gospel preaching to our hearts. These are ways by which the restoration begins. Now, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way of restoration. If there were a way by which you could carry on sinning, perhaps in a milder way, you would like that. You wouldn't see the need of turning. You would prefer just to do something that's pleasing to you. You could still carry on as you were, and if that would be all right, but it isn't all right. The whole of the old nature was wrong. And the whole of repenting of that nature and laying our sins on the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing them to him, pleading with him that he will have mercy on us, pleading that he will show us compassion, pleading with him that he will overlook, it's not quite the word I want, but being aware of all of those wicked things that we have done, he will not call us to account for them, because he has accounted for them himself in his own body. And then restoration. When we believed, and we know that we're saved, when we know that we're saved and we will receive forgiveness of sins, and we will have fellowship for the rest of our lives with the Saviour, and we will inherit eternal life, then the challenge of discipleship begins. Years are going to be different. If years are restored, then years can't be like they were before. Years must be spent in an entirely different way. And the Lord has given it to those who believe in him to speak the gospel. Joel in chapter 1 speaks of this, that we tell our children and our children tell their children and their children another generation. We spend our years passing on that gospel. We spend our years not mourning for the life that's gone, but the loving of knowing the Lord Jesus and looking forward for the life that is to come. And you say, well, I'm getting old. The years that the locusts have eaten have been 70, 60, 80, whatever they've been. Can there be any hope for me? What use would be the years that remain to me? How could I serve you? The years that I have wasted, that have been lost, are too many for the Lord to restore to me anything meaningful. But it is not so. It is not so. Let me, just out of interest, point you out to a scenario. If you like, it's a last seen scenario. But the Lord could restore to you 1 year. But in that 1 year, you could make up for all that you'd done before. So here you are at 80, and the Lord has come to your heart. The Lord has shown you the wickedness of your ways. The Lord has shown you how it's made other people miserable all their life long. The Lord has shown you that you can't get out of it yourself. You would believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and know that he has paid the price of the sin of those who believe, and you have put your trust in him, and you have believed. How many years have you got left? You don't know. But at 70 or 80, there may not be very many. So how will the Lord restore them? Now, the Lord restores them by making the moments of more value. In other words, let's say he spares you a month and you may be able to tell others about the Lord Jesus. It may be that you will be able to be a good example in your family, and their initial response is, we'll trust it when we see it. And perhaps in a month they will say, well, yeah, there has been a very real change. But your witness and your words and your faith may accomplish more than the previous 80 years have done. Just that month. When the Lord restores the years, he doesn't mean he'll give you another 18 years. No, he will give you eternal life. He means that the quality of gospel instruction that you will be able to give others, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If the Lord does it to someone to whom you speak, that is of eternal worth, worth much more than 18 years of all the other things put together. And you may have 10 years, 20 years to preach the gospel, to speak the gospel, to live out the gospel by such means. The Lord restores the years that the locust has eaten. It is a dreadful thing, a debilitating thing, to come to the conclusion at 50, 60, 70, whatever, that your life has been a waste. And it is hardwired within us that at a certain age, we do actually think like that. We say, now, what have I done with my life? What have I accomplished? Somebody may have said, I did this and I did that. Then you will say to yourself, but what use was it? What did it achieve? You can't see any achievement in it. So the thing you deserve, you desire most, is that the Lord will restore it. And then the devil fights you and says, but that's not possible, you've wasted too much. Well, you have wasted a lot. But when the Lord restores, he enables at the end of your life, whenever it is, that you will have accomplished as much, if not more, as you would have done if you never went astray. Now, that's not an excuse for not going astray. But if you find yourself in this terrible predicament, that the locusts have eaten your life, that there's nothing to show, that you've done nothing that would be useful to anybody, that maybe you've done little, the Lord promises, the Lord Jesus Christ promises, he will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Cast yourself upon him. Throw yourself upon him. Beseech his mercy. And you'll see the fulfillment of that promise in your life. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ sets men and women and boys and girls free. Free from all the things that have ruined and wrecked their life and run riot within their souls. May it be that you will be one who throws himself, herself, upon the Lord Jesus Christ for everlasting salvation and a little usefulness yet. Amen.